Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and today we're going to continue in our study in the book of Philippians, or the epistle to the Philippians. Last time we left off, we were beginning chapter 3. And just to back up a little bit, Paul warns us to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And of course, he's not talking about the people that are out there in the world, among the heathen, out there in the Roman Empire, in the public sphere of the Egyptian Sodomite world, but he was talking about these people that are in the church that we need to beware of. Taking us to the temple scene of the Revelation, which is a picture of God's church in the last days. And those are these dogs, he calls them dogs, just as offensive as Jesus was when he said some things that seemed to be very offensive. These evil workers, and he calls them the concision, those that mutilate. He goes on, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. An indication right there that he is speaking spiritually and that we have no confidence in the flesh, in the works of the flesh, in the praise of the flesh, and certainly not in genealogies, and certainly not in our nationality. Nothing in the flesh can save us. We have absolutely zero confidence in the flesh. Paul goes on to give us his pedigree, so to speak, that he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. So you want to boast in your position in the flesh? He says, I could boast more. He was circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, it's touching the law, Pharisee, and he goes on to give his pedigree. And in the end, he says, it's all dung. It's all worthless. He said, I count it all loss. I gladly exchange it for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And, you know, you find the same thing in the church these days. People give their pedigrees. Some people will stand up and they'll give you all their PhDs and their doctorates and philosophy and Bible degrees, whatever. I went to such and such university. Some people, their pedigree is their family. I was raised in a Christian home and I've been married to the same woman for 40 years. And they give their pedigree. It's like their pedigree. It's like they're looking at this and they're saying, this is what I stand on. But Paul says, it's all dung. No matter how good it is. And, you know, it's good to have good things in your life, but not to boast in those things. As if you're responsible. As if you planned your life before you were born. Because you planned nothing. It is good to have an education. It's good to learn God's word. And you can learn it, you can sit under good teachers, you can have a degree, and all of that is good. But it is not what you stand on. You stand on one thing, the blood of Jesus, the only saving grace that we have. All the works and all of the accomplishments of our life, Paul rightly says, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Trade it all in. Good, bad, indifferent, the beautiful, the ugly, whatever it is that you're clinging to, trade it in that you may win Christ. Paul moving on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul, of course, saying his righteousness, his own righteousness was of the law because he was a Pharisee. But your righteousness could stand on something else besides Christ. And then it's your own righteousness. It's worthless. It will not pay the price for your sins. It never will. And all the perfecting that Christ has done in me over the last 45 years since the Father adopted me as a son into his kingdom, all of the perfecting that has been done in me by his Holy Spirit is worthless for achieving the prize of eternal life. Well, it's not worthless for me. It's the work that Christ is doing in me to perfect me, but it will not buy my salvation. It is not a righteousness on which I stand, because any righteousness I have is imputed righteousness. It is his righteousness. It's not mine. He died so that I could receive it. I owe it all to him. Anything good in my life, as anything good that we may experience at any time in our lives, is a gift from God. So we cannot boast in it. We cannot take personal pride in it. I might go as far as to say, I am proud of what God has done in me, but I can take no credit for it, and there's no self-pride in it whatsoever. He says, I count it all dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. That is the important thing, is to be found in him. Paul continues, not having my own righteousness. It's not mine, it's his. He has imputed it to me. It's the work that he did that allows his righteousness to be imputed to me. All good things come from God. And if there's anything good in me, anything good in my life, anything good in your life, even in the most despicable and evil of this planet, anything good in their life is a gift from God, because all good things come from God. So not having my own righteousness, Paul says, which is of the law, or we could say which is whatever, the degrees, the good works we've done, all of that. He says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's where the reformers said faith alone, you know, Christ alone, faith alone. Not by the works of the flesh, not by the Antichrist Pope of Rome, not by the clergy, not by the beautiful buildings and the robes that they wear. There's no righteousness in it whatsoever. The only true righteousness is from Christ alone, by faith alone. And that's what we rely upon, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. we are made conformable to his death when we carry our cross. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. He carried his cross, and he carried his cross for us, because there was no sin on his cross but ours, because he had no sin. But he says, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's that perfecting work that he desires to do in us, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, putting to death all of those things that are not conformable to the law of his kingdom, not conformable to the kingdom of heaven and the laws of its king. And he is that king. Jesus, Yahushua, the Messiah, is the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, the Kingdom of God. And he is our King. And he purchased us with his own blood so that he could impute his righteousness to us. So let us allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that work of repentance, because that is the process. And that is the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached, going about and saying to everyone everywhere, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, that I may know him. Verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. And we know that power now, because if he is working in us, if we are born again, if we are quickened with the life that he gave us by that new birth, then the power of the resurrection, the power of his resurrection, is working in us to redeem us, to conform us to the image of the only begotten Son of God, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And if he was matured or perfected through suffering, as the scripture says, how much more us? If you're a Christian and you're not suffering for Christ, I don't understand it. I don't understand how that could be, because we are to know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, crucifying the deeds of the flesh. Perhaps Paul continues in verse 11, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's the prize. That's the end. He says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And there, that allusion back to the phrase that we read, where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There should be a little trepidation continually through our life, because we have no illusions about who we are and who we would be without Christ if we should wander from the way of life and join the many on the broad way that leads to destruction. Even the many in the church, in the visible church on earth, to whom Christ will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Never want to hear that. I do not want to hear those words. Any means. And the means to attain unto the resurrection of the dead are found in the Word of God. Let us not depart from the Word of God. Let us avoid, abhor anything that deviates from God's Word. Not that everything that deviates from God's Word is necessarily evil in itself, but any deviation may be a temptation to leave the path, to continue in a deviation. Let us always come back to God's Word as our standard for faith and practice. If the practice is not found in God's Word, maybe the Spirit will move it and make something happen one time, and maybe not. But let us always come back. Let us not get carried away with anything that deviates from our standard for faith and practice found only in the Word of God. Let us always come back to it. Because if God's Word is not our standard for faith and practice, then what is our standard? But whatever we make up in our own mind. But whatever we decide when we deviate from God's Word, it's a dangerous path. And it will not lead to life. And there is a lot of deception out there. And Paul started out this chapter warning us about the dogs, the evil workers, those mutilators that are working in the church today. And they are, unfortunately, they are the majority, sad to say, of those that are in church government, in the world, out there in all of those buildings, the majority of them are dogs, evil workers, and mutilators. And I take no joy in saying that. But it is a warning. And some people would say to me, how dare you? What gives you the right to say that? Who do you think you are? I'm just a man that believes in God's Word and believes that it is the standard for faith and practice. And when I see all the deviation, all of the errant doctrine, everything that goes another way, preaches another gospel, as good sounding, as you have the right to believe what is wrong. You have the right to go astray. Doesn't make it right just because you can do it. Just because we can do something, just because God allows people to get away with things that deviate from His standard for faith and practice, does not mean that it's right or it's okay. Because apparently, the Almighty allows the entire world, for the most part, to go astray, to continue on the broad way that leads to destruction. But He has His eye on the few that are walking on that narrow way, that continue in His Word, that count everything else as loss and dung, that will sell everything that they have to obtain that prize, eternal life through Christ Jesus. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If you miss that, you miss everything. That's the prize to keep your eye on. There is nothing greater than you can attain during your mortal existence than the resurrection of the dead. And it's only found in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a present reality. Now there's coming a day, foretold in God's Word, where Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years, and Jesus will return, and He will return bodily, and we will be changed, the dead will be resurrected, and those who are alive and remain will be changed, and these two groups will be caught up together in the same event. It says together in Thessalonians. They'll be caught up together, and so we will ever be with the Lord. We will be resurrected as He was resurrected. We will have bodies that will never get sick or old or ill or die. We will never be tempted to sin again. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that day when I don't have to wrestle with temptation, when I can just be all that God wants me to be. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no big head. There's no pride. There's no arrogance in this man. He knows exactly where he stands, and that we all must press on from where we're at. We must all continue to allow the Holy Spirit to do that perfecting work in us. We must continue to carry our cross until the end of our mortality. You're listening to Nicholas. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we're going through the Epistle to the Philippians, and we'll continue after we get back these messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We are presently going through Philippians. And we've got to chapter 3. Let's see, where did we leave off? About verse 12 or so. Let's see, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. We should back up a little bit. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling us, let go of the past. Whatever you were, whatever you've given up, whatever you've lost, whatever you suffered, all of those things, leave them behind. Wherever you're at right now, whatever has happened to you in the past, surrender it to God Almighty. Ask Him for a new life. Ask Him to lead you and guide you from this day forward into everlasting life, to the resurrection of the dead, to the perfecting of your character, to perfecting you to being the man, woman of God that He wants you to be. From this moment forward, He can heal your mind, He can heal your heart, He can heal your soul. Just whatever it is, give it to Him and start today to press on, as Paul says, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the object of every Christian man and woman, to press on for the prize. The prize is eternal life, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to be the man that He wants you to be the woman that He wants you to be. Let us therefore, verse 15, as many as be perfect, and perhaps we might want to use the word, as many as are being perfected, be thus minded. Because in the spiritual realm, in our calling with God, if we are allowing Him to perfect us, then we are at the moment perfect in Him, because we're allowing that work in us. If you're not carrying your cross, that is the perfecting work, by the way, if you want to know what it means to be perfected in Christ. It isn't about having knowledge. It isn't about knowing everything there is to know, but it's about allowing God, His Holy Spirit, to work in you in crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That's how we become perfected. When we crucify something, it's dead and it's buried. Problem with this mortal flesh is that we're dragging around a dead body. We, in the Spirit, we're perfected because we're allowing the Spirit to work in us, crucifying the deeds of the flesh. But our body has not been resurrected. It still is under the curse, and it must suffer death, unless you're going to be one of the few that will be alive and remain at His coming. Then you will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You won't have to visit the grave, but it will be a death of the body nonetheless. Just a little bit different circumstance, in that it will be an instantaneous change. But I'm going to tell you what I understand from God's Word is that for those that have, and that is most of the saints that have lived before us and died and gone to the grave, or whatever manner, the demise of their flesh, some burned in fires, some were drowned, some were tortured to death, it doesn't matter. Not a problem for an almighty God. Don't have to worry about it. When you go to the grave, I believe it's instantaneous. That you just kind of fast forward in time, because what would you know anyway? You aren't sleeping, you aren't aware of anything. Even if time does elapse, you're entering eternity. Next thing you know, you're at the resurrection. And those of us that are alive and remain, the few that are left at that time, that get to experience His coming, guess what? It'll be the same instant. That's the instant they will know. Those that are dead, it's the same instant you'll know when you are transformed, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because it's the same event where you're caught up, and it says that we will forever be with the Lord. And a glorious day. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, even Paul, in his age here, in his maturity in Christ, says, I'm still being perfected. I'm still suffering. I'm still crucifying the deeds of the flesh. And I find after 45 years, so am I. I'm no better than Paul. He was a man. I'm a man. He was chosen as apostle. I'm chosen as a servant today. And I thank God for that. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as do we all, if we belong to Him. And let us not have any illusions about our true position in Christ. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, where we left off, or as many as are being perfected, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Yes, we have that confidence. Because we admit we're not perfect. We admit we still need perfecting. So God will reveal that to us. And when will He reveal that to us? When He chooses to work on that. Fortunately for us, He doesn't try to do all the work at once, because we would lose ourselves. But He says that God will reveal even this unto you when the time comes to move on from the perfection in one area of your life to move on to another. God will reveal that. And a lot of times those old areas where God was working on perfection, perfecting us, they kind of come back up. Need a little more perfecting there. Need a little more work on that. Let's make sure the perfection in this area. Yes, it is a lifelong process. Don't think that, after I followed Jesus for 10 years, then I'll be perfect. No. Paul does not express that. You will find that expressed nowhere in God's Word. That the only time we will be perfected is when we see Him. The Scripture says we will be like Him, and that will be in the resurrection. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. So whatever you have attained, don't go back. Continue to walk therein. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Verse 18, chapter 3. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul here continues, talking about the dogs, the evil workers, the mutilators of the church of God. Does the souls of men. He says, for many, and he uses the word many there, going back to the words of the Messiah in chapter 3 of Matthew, where he talks about the few and the many. And Paul is talking about the church again, just like Jesus did. First, Jesus starts out with the few and the many and the world at large, and then he narrows it down to the church. And he says, many will come to me in that day. And I will say to those many, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He's talking about church people. He's going to say, I never knew you. But they're going to proclaim that they worked for him, that they knew him. But he's going to say, I never knew you. Paul, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You got your name it, claim it. You got your fake healers. You got men putting on a show, selling miracles and signs and wonders. You got men following after new revelations in the church. Paul says it's the many. So I come back. Who am I? By the grace of God, I'm one of the few. By the grace of God, you are one of the few and not one of the many. It's God's word. It's God's word that declares that the many of the church are lost, that the many in church leadership are leading people astray. And you can start with the Antichrist church, the great apostate whore that is leading the bulk of the visible church astray. They have billions of followers in the Antichrist Church and all of their ecumenical daughters. And they welcome all. Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, it doesn't matter. Atheists are all welcome in the apostate church today. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ because they give you a different cross to carry. Their cross. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They mind earthly things. Watch them. They mind earthly things. They think because they're rich, they are increased in goods, they're popular, very popular. They mind earthly things. Popularity, riches, notoriety, power, money, earthly things. They dress themselves up in nice robes. They have beautiful mansions, lots of money, and they sell lots of books. Very popular. To become popular, any wise man would be afraid. Paul continues in verse 20. He says, for our conversation is in heaven. Yes, we're seated in heavenly places. Let our lifestyle be in the kingdom of heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The work that he has begun in us, he will complete it. He will subdue all things in his kingdom unto himself. That's why the gospel is so important. The gospel that Jesus preached. Repent. Allow Christ to subdue all things in you to himself. The work which he has begun in us, he will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Moving on. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul says, because of all these things, everything we read up to this point, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The work that Paul is doing, he has one object, and that is to store up his treasure in heaven, not minding earthly things, but minding heavenly things. He says, you are my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. If I lose you, I lose my treasure. If you don't stand fast, you're listening Across the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through Philippians. And we have one chapter left to go before we move on to and continue in chapter 4. I'd like to have you visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe there. You'll find this Bible study. If not posted there now, it will be shortly hereafter. Go to my website and make sure you subscribe there. Email me. Go to the contact page there and send me an email. Let me know how you like the broadcast, if you're being edified. If there's anything else I can do for you, please let me know. I would like to hear from you. If you'd like to support this broadcast, there's a link there at my website at crosstheborder.org in the left-hand column to firstamendmentradio.com or .net. And go ahead and press the support button there. And just put a note in there for Across the Border or whatever program you like that you're supporting for, or several programs. But that's the way to get to support Across the Border. is to go to firstamendmentradio.net and make sure you download the Prophecy Reality app there for your smartphone, okay? And that way you can listen to First Amendment Radio and this broadcast and my weekly Prophecy Reality broadcast. I do a live broadcast every Wednesday morning where we talk primarily about Prophecy Reality news, things in the news, if there is any. And sometimes there is. Most of the time there's not really a lot of prophecy news going on because we are historicists here and we're looking for prophecy that in the news that fits with actual historicism and what's in the Bible rather than getting excited about everything that we, there's a lot of that out there, people who will try to weave everything into prophecy. But we don't do that. But we always have some topic that we're going to cover. And I have several books that I've written on prophecy. You'll see those at my website when you go to crosstheborder.org. And all of my books are, you know, are free. If you want an EPUB edition or a PDF version of them, all you got to do is go to the free ebook tab there and follow the directions. First, subscribe to my blog. And then share and then ask for a copy of whichever book it is. If you'd like a second book, well then I would like you to write a review on Amazon of the first book, and that way then I'll give you another book. Of course, to those that support, all of those things are available just for the asking. Those that actually give us financial support at firstamendmentradio.com. All those things are available just for the asking for all of our supporters. And like I said, if you want a free e-copy, whether you have the money, the inclination to support us, you may already be supporting missionaries and other ministries to the maximum because that's where God has told you to give. And I would not ask you to change that. I would just ask you to be just sensitive to God. And only support us or firstamendmentradio.com if you feel like that's what God wants you to do with what you are eager and faithfully want to give to His work. Because when you give to the work of God, you are joining your labor, the labor that you labored with, that gift that you're giving. You're joining your labor to those that spend all of their time laboring in God's kingdom, such as I do here. And this is my life. This is all I do is, First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border and ministry work here. This is, I derive my livelihood from whatever God's people choose to give here. I collect no welfare, no socialist security. I consider that theft. And even though I'm of age to collect it, if I were to apply for it, which I refuse to do, I'm not a card-carrying socialist. I do see it as theft, and the nation admits that they don't have the money and that they're borrowing it from their children's children. Well, I'm not going to steal from my children or anybody else's children. When I can work in God's kingdom and God will faithfully provide everything I need, as He said in His Word. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And He says, and all these things, and in context, the things that He's talking about are housing, clothing, travel, whatever you need. Money to pay your bills, to buy food. He says, and all these things will be added to you. So it's a bonus. He says, seek first my kingdom. Guess what? You get the kingdom. You get eternal life. And he says, then you don't have to worry about the other things. And he certainly says, forget not all of my benefits. And that's another reason why I will not turn to Caesar, the beast, for the benefits that they steal from my neighbor. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll be back after some messages and news, and we'll continue or finish Philippians. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the Revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and today we're going through the Bible, which we like to do most of the time, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And we've ended up in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. So let's pick up there. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Paul, here in this, to me, famous passage, one of my early memory verses from Philippians 4, 4 through 8, and we should all memorize this, rejoice in the Lord alway, and you notice it's singular there, it's not always. If it was always, it would refer to time, but alway, I guess it refers to more than time, and whatever way you're in and whatever time you're in it, we are to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He emphasizes the rejoice. And sometimes it's difficult to rejoice, but that's when we need to have the Word of God in us. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. And of course, the moderation there is, we should take a little better look at the word moderation there. Let me open up my King James Plus here and look at the Greek. And the word for moderation is, your gentleness, your patience. That's what he's going for here. Let your gentleness, let your patience be known unto all men. In other words, God is calling us to be kind in our words, in our deeds, at all times. He says to all men, not just believers, not just those you agree with, but let your be gentle, be kind, be patient with all men. He says, the Lord is at hand. God is with us. He sees how we treat other people, and he's very concerned about it. He continues, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Again, we can look at the word careful, and what do we come up with in the Greek? I'm not going to try to say the Greek words. I'm just going to look at the definitions here. It says, to be anxious about, have anxiety for nothing. Don't allow anxiety to rule in your life. Be anxious for nothing. I think it says that in the New King James Version, but be careful for nothing. It says in the Authorized, be anxious about nothing, but in everything. So rather than worry, don't worry about things. Don't allow worry and anxiety to reign in your life. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, by prayer, supplication, ask for what you need. That's right. That's what it means to supplicate, to ask for what you need, to let your, well, he says it here, with thanksgiving. So you supplicate and you give thanks. You ask God for what you need. You tell God what you're concerned about, what you would worry about if you didn't have a Heavenly Father who's going to take care of everything for you. You're like the child, you know? If you have a small child and your small child is worried, it hurts itself or something and comes to you crying and you console your child. Supplication. Ask for what you need. Let God know what you're worried about, what you're anxious over, and then give thanks that it's in his hands. Let your requests be made known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God promises you peace when you cast all your cares upon him. As Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me. He cares for us. And he promises us peace. We get to rest knowing that whatever it is, it's in his hands. It's in the capable hands of an almighty God. And we can rest in that peace. Scripture also says, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. So, no matter how bad it is, if we belong to him, it works for good. It says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So our main worry should be, do we love God? Are we called according to his purpose? Then we know that all these things, good, bad, indifferent, troublesome, grievous, loss, all things work together for our good because we love God. And the longer you walk with God, the longer you're on that kingdom road that leads to life, that narrow way, the more you understand what that passage means. Because God uses all of these things to conform us to the image of his only begotten son. Also there in that same passage, another memory verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten son. And that's the only thing that if we were to worry is, am I one of those? And then we turn that over to him in prayer. If you're worried, do I love God? Am I called according to his purpose? Well, there's your prayer right there. Oh, God, please, Father, Heavenly Father, I want to be one of those that are called. I want to be called, and I want to be called according to your purpose. I want to love you. Teach me how to love you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. That's right. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And what a blessed gift we have from God. A peace that passes understanding. It passes the understanding of men, the mind, people who do not have that peace. In the world, they have to worry. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to pay these bills? How? And they lay a heavy burden on their children. They send them to the public schools, the Gentiles do, those in the outer court and those in the world. And so they seek after these things. After these things do the unbelievers, the Gentiles seek. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to feed and clothe my children? What am I going to drive? What? How am I going to? And so they go and they chase after these things, temporal things. They mind the things of the flesh. But Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. One of my favorite verses that I fell in love with as a baby Christian 40 years ago. I read that and I said, that verse is for me. And I'll tell you, 40 years ago, I didn't understand what I was reading, but I understood there was a promise there that God was going to take care of me and that all of the things that I needed would be added to me. Yeah. And so I ran with that. And that's how God's Spirit, that's how His Holy Spirit works in us. He causes us to latch on a few things in His Word, enough to keep us on the road that leads to life. Let's make sure we are there and that we stay there and endure till the end of our mortality. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, he's saying, change your mind. Change the things that you dwell on into things that are good. And he gives you a good list here. So now, we are to take every thought captive. Another scriptural reference for you. To take everything captive, also from Paul. And that's all that's being repeated here. You see the same theme over and over in different words. To take everything captive and bring it into subjection to Christ. So we think about things that are true and honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue and if there be any praise, we dwell, we think on good things. If you think on bad things, if you worry, see, you just got done telling us, don't worry. Don't dwell on that. Let your requests, whatever it is you're worried about, give it to God. Let Him know what you want. And then give thanks that it's in His hands and you don't have to worry about it. He said, cast all your care on me. That's what Jesus said. We carry around the weight of the world on our shoulders. And he says, you don't have to do that. I got it all in hand. It's all taken care of. Trust me. And think about good things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, verse 9, and seen in me, Paul says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That peace that passes understanding will not depart. Yes, and you know, here I am 45 years walking on the kingdom road and casting my care on him. And it gets easier as time goes by to trust in him and to follow these words. Stick with it. And when you fail, so what? Reach for the Father's hand. Don't be ashamed. He already knows. He's seen worse than you. He's raised up worse than you. Believe me. And nothing to be ashamed of. He wants to perfect you. He wants you in his kingdom. He doesn't want to lose you. He calls all men everywhere to repent, to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to carry their own cross. Right? Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And that's the mind that we need to put on. We need to be content. And we can be content with a lot less than we think. And that's a lesson that we all should have opportunity to learn. Some people have a hard time doing without things that they're used to. Yeah. God wants to teach you to be content in whatever state you're in and to learn to be content. Because what we think we need and what we actually need may be two different things and usually are two different things. Actually, our hope is not even in this life and in the things that we need for this life. I would rather suffer deprivation than turn to the gods of this world for my sustenance, to take care of me, even death, because the prize that I seek is not even in this life. How many martyrs went to the fire, went to the rack, suffered the sword, and willingly, knowing that their true prize was beyond the grave. So when we think that we need this or that, we need to rethink and understand that we can do with a lot less. We could be content with a lot less. And the only reason that we're content is because all of the promises of God are ours. And the promises of God are to be greatly treasured above certainly the bare necessities of this mortal existence, the few luxuries that we may or may not have in this life. The promises of God far outweigh even our own life, our own mortal existence. Cannot be compared. As the scripture says of the martyrs, they loved not their lives to the death. They placed a higher value on the resurrection of Christ than their very own lives. And we all, especially in these days, that where we are foretold that there will be many martyrs who will refuse to receive the mark of the beast and worship the Antichrist or his image, many will lay down their lives, except for those that get to go on the rapture. Sorry, the rapture will be canceled. All three of the raptures will be canceled But the resurrection is where our hope really lies. Not in some false rapture that happens during some 7-year tribulation deception, but in the true, the resurrection of Christ. The one that the Bible talks about. That's right, the resurrection. That's what Paul, he never talks about the rapture here. He talks about the resurrection of the dead. Paul continuing, those things, chapter 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And if you don't have peace, there's a good indication there that you're not doing the things that God has called you to do, to be one of His. You are a hearer only of the word and not a doer. You want that peace? If it eludes you, then repent, for the kingdom is at hand. That peace can only be found in His kingdom, on the narrow way that leads to life, that peace that passes all understanding. If you don't have it, repent and ask God to give it to you. And He will give it to you if you earnestly seek it. Continuing, Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, a lot of people get misled here, and they will misquote this to say that they can do all things and anything, and they'll apply this blanket across the board. But no, this in context, that we can go through anything. We can suffer lack. We can have plenty. Wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, it is enough for us. We can do all things, all these things through Christ. We can make it through with His strength. Notwithstanding, he continues, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Paul saying, I received a little support. And of course, the message here is that he continued on and he worked in Christ. It didn't matter whether he received the support or not. Ask me if I know what that's like. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent, once and again, unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. And Paul is expressing here that when you give to the work of God, when you give to the necessity of those that are sowing and planting and reaping in His kingdom, that you're adding your labor to theirs. Yes. You get credit in your heavenly account. You get treasure stored up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. Neither can thieves break steel. No one can take your prize from you. It will be waiting there after you endure to the end of your mortality in the resurrection. Okay, we're going to go into a little break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And today we're going through Philippians. We're going to finish up here in a few minutes. We're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is talking to the Philippians and praising them because how they supported him in Thessalonica, where they were his only support in his mission there. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There another misused verse by the get rich, name it, claim it crowd out there and others. But Paul is speaking, they gave. And they did not give to get rich. They did not give to name it and claim it, to increase their account on earth, being minded with fleshy things, but they were being minded with heavenly things. So when he says that God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, he's going back to what the Messiah said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of the things, those necessities of life, will be added to you. What a great deal. You know, that is like the best meal. And that was another thing I found very attractive when I was young. That, hey, if I seek God's kingdom first, then God's going to add all those other things to me. So what God is saying is that it's more important to put my kingdom first and not worry about the things of this world, that they will take care of themselves because you're seeking my kingdom first and all of these things will be added to you. The best deal out there. And you know, I haven't found a better deal since. No one's been able to offer me anything better. The atheists, the unbelievers out there, they challenge me and go, what do you have to offer me? Well, you know, the pleasures of sin for a season, and then if what you believe is true, it's just dirt after that. I get to live on in the memories of my loved ones, and that's it. I'm going to compare that to the resurrection and all the promises of God, that my memories that live on and those that follow me and the memories of my children and grandchildren, that's not life. That's not living on. Because they'll soon forget me, just like I forgot all of those that went before me. And the memories of even those that I loved is only a shadow of what they were. That's no kind of life at all. That's your hope? That's the deal that you want to give me? That you want me to trade in the promises of God, my walk with Christ in His kingdom for? A shadow and dirt? No, but it's not a shadow and dirt. It's punishment for rejecting the gospel. It's much worse. Oh, they would be fortunate if what they believed was true, if it was only the memories of other and dirt that they had to look forward to. They would be lucky. Yes, lucky. And to be lucky, if I say good luck to someone, I almost think that's like a derogatory thing to say, because luck is nothing. If luck is all you got, is the God of luck, then you got nothing. Yeah. No deal. No trade. Sorry. Nobody's come up with a better deal than that offered by the only begotten Son of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus. There's no better offer out there. And there's not going to be one. I'll listen to your offer, only so that I can have a chance to preach the gospel to you, so you'll understand that whatever it is that you think you have that's so great, it's, as Paul said, it's dung. That's a me living on in the memories of my children and grandchildren and in the memories of anyone in the world who might remember me. That's dung to me, comparatively speaking, compared to all the promises of God and eternal life in Christ Jesus. The excellency of the knowledge of life in Christ Jesus, it's all dung. But my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Even in want, even in deprivation, even at the stake of martyrdom or the guillotine of martyrdom, He is supplying all of our need. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation in your life, whether in times of great physical, material blessing, or whether in times of deprivation, hunger, fasting, He supplies all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are also with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And here we have Paul setting an example. He is under house arrest in Rome. He can have visitors. And he's doing the gospel work. Yes, who established? Who was the bishop of the church at Rome? Let me ask you, who? Was it Peter or was it Paul? What saith the Word of God? Well, the Word of God says it was Paul. Even reaching into Caesar's household. And he concludes here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And there it is. That is, we conclude Philippians. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. And I really enjoy going through the Bible and sharing these studies with you. We've got a few minutes here to spend. What shall I do? I shall say, go to my website, crosstheborder.org. It's a blog, and I would like you to subscribe to my blog. When you go there, and you'll see in the upper left-hand column, it'll say subscribe to this blog with your email. So put your email address in there, and then after you press the follow button or however that works, you'll get a confirmation email if you put your email in there correctly. And, of course, to complete your subscription, you have to answer the email to confirm it. So please do that and add to the several hundred people there that are following my blog. Also, if you are like most of the church out there, you probably believe in the rapture. And if you don't believe in the rapture, you've been educated and you understand the historical position of God's church and prophecy, then you want to share my latest book with your friends or read it yourself if you're still somewhat a rapture believer or you believe in a seven-year tribulation. You'll want to read this book. This book is for you. When the Third Temple is Built. I will lay it out on the line for you what in all likelihood will happen. I run through a fictional scene there in one of the chapters. And I explain why this is not a biblical doctrine. And clearly and concisely take you through several scriptural references that are used to build this faulty doctrine and break it down for you. Hopefully in a way that you can understand. I really wrote this book for rapture believers and for those that want to reach their friends that are deluded in this left behind rapture doctrine. And so hopefully no one will be offended and it'll be easy to follow for them. I wrote it to pique their interest, to get them engaged and going, I gotta read this book. And so that's the kind of book it is. And I try to offend no one in it. And the title's a little bit different. It's not as confrontational as, I guess, my former book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. But it's not the same book either. It builds upon some themes that are in that book and expands upon others. But it is a totally different book. And we seem to be on the cusp of seeing a temple built in the land of Israel, over there in the Mideast, in the days in which we live. So you'll see it. The rapture play will begin. And I'm already telling you, I am sure. Yes, I am 100% positive that there will be no raptures. None of the three raptures. Not even post-tribulation. That's where most people start out, with a post-tribulation position, because they can't find the pre-tribulation. They go, that's not there. And that was my position when I first tried to uphold a pre-tribulation rapture, because that's the most popular position. Because who wants to go through all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation in 3.5 or 7 years? That's just unbearable. God certainly would not want us to go through something like that. And that's true. He would not want us to go through all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation. And that's why we don't live 2,000 years. Otherwise, we would have gone through it all, because most of the calamity of the book of Revelation is past. It's history. And that's the historical position. The rapture, really, as you understand it today, the pre-tribulation rapture, is about a 150-year-old invention. That's right. That's about it. 150 years old. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's about it. Maybe a little more than 100. Actually, about 1830, it cropped up. The pre-tribulation rapture position. And it was built, of course, on Ribera's end-time Antichrist scenario. Because if you didn't have the end-time Antichrist scenario first, you would have never had a pre-tribulation rapture. And, of course, what they did was, they will argue that, yes, the entire history of the church is in the book of Revelation, but it's in the letters to the seven churches. And the letters to the seven churches are actually seven church ages. And so, see, it didn't skip over. But there is nothing in the text, nothing in the entire Bible, to give any weight or credence to that argument. Absolutely nothing. But we do have the weight of all history to back up the historicist position. When the angel told John to write about the things which are, that was the letters to the seven churches. And the things which shall be hereafter. That was everything after that. Of course, the letters to the seven churches are lessons that we can take from each church that are applicable throughout the ages. But they are not seven church ages. Because some of the things in one church, some of the things in another church may apply to you. And then some things from several of the other churches that don't apply to you may apply to someone else. But they always apply to someone somewhere in all of the time that has elapsed since the revelation. I don't want to say ages, because there are no seven church ages. So on my website, you'll see these prophecy books, these resources, and you can get that one. I think you can buy it for $10.99 when the third temple is built. Just go to the Get the Book page, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a link there to get pocketbook editions of all four of these books. So make sure you get those. If you want to read this first, and you say, this would be great to reach my friends, and that's what I wrote it for you to give to your friends. So make sure if you buy a copy, you pass it on. If you want to get 100 copies to give away to your entire church, or 50 or whatever, email me and I will get them at cost to you directly from the printer. At cost. Yeah, I won't make a penny on it. That's right. So make sure you do that. You can do your part in waking up your fellow Christian, because this is the day that we're in. This is the book for today, when the third temple is built. Read it for yourself, and then pray about giving copies of this away to your friends, to your church, and any of these other resources here. They're all available free. Just go to the free ebook tab, follow those instructions. You've already subscribed, so say, I've already subscribed, if you've already subscribed. And, of course, that'll have to be true. And share it, you know, call a friend or whatever, or commit to share the copy I give to you with someone else who may be excited about the rapture happening in their day and believe it's going to happen any minute. And they're excited about going home to be with Jesus. But you're going to be in for quite a disappointment when none of the raptures happen. Okay, well, I don't know what else I can say today. You've been listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please subscribe there. Get the word out. Share this broadcast with someone else. And if the Almighty would have you support this work, like I said, go to firstamendmentradio.com and click on the support button there. And you could always leave a note that what broadcast you would like to support or that you're particularly interested in. Okay, and I would like to hear from you. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Go to the contact page there and let me know whatever you would have to say, how you feel about the broadcast, just that you're listening and you appreciate it, or even if you don't appreciate it, I would like to hear from you. Well, that's all we have for today, so join me next time on Cross the Border.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.